There. You mean all this time I wasn't on, huh? Okay. I did get a message from Ray Osborne. He checks on us every week, and he said, where was the message from last week? And I said, well, Ron was sick, so Ron, you're back with us. Okay. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, it's very interesting that James links all of these together. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now, as I was thinking about quick to hear and slow to speak, and there, boy, I don't resemble that very, very well, because my wife reminds me that I always talk a lot, so I need to really apply this. And in order to apply this, I have to listen, which reminded me of this fellow here. You know who this is, right? And, you know, he doesn't move very fast, but he sure knows how to listen, right? Because he's got big ears, right? And we need to listen. And not only, you know, is it something that God is asking us to do, and you're there, oh, well, we're listening to you, right? But we need to be listening throughout the week, listening for God in his speaking to us in as we pray. And listening is the key in a very real sense. And it's something that every one of those, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to hear, they're imperatives. You know what an imperative is, right? It's a command, a command. An imperative is a command. It's not something that God says, well, I'm going to suggest that you be quick to listen. I'm going to command you. I command you to listen. And I command you to be slow to speak, Al, right? And slow to anger. And so we want to take a look at why listening is so important and why slow to speak is so important. Because if we're not listening and we are talking rather than listening, many times what's going to happen is we're going to get angry. And I can stand at the first of the line here. One of the things that I've struggled with all my life is anger. You know, I wasn't into alcohol and addiction and all that kind of stuff. But anger is something that I struggle with all my life. And maybe it's because, you know, that I didn't listen very well and would rather speak than listen. I mean, I don't know. But it's something that I've struggled with all my life. And so when I do messages like this, you know, God really convicts me, right? And I'm not very patient sometimes when something comes up. And my wife, I'm surprised my wife isn't saying amen right here. But, you know, you need to pray for her. It's tough to live with me. Yeah. I knew it was coming. And one of the things that we think about is we think about anger. Now, how many of you are willing to admit that you get angry? Oh, wow, more than I thought. Okay, now, those, I said this a couple weeks ago, that those of you that don't have your hands up, that's what denial looks like, right? Because we're all angry people. And if there's ever a time that we see a lot of anger, it's now, isn't it? Anger's everywhere, okay? And we think about anger, and I didn't think there was going to be that many hands that were going to be raised, but, you know, because we hate to admit anger. Because anger is something that we think about as sinful. It's wrong. I don't want to be angry. I know when I was counseling, I would suggest to somebody, well, you're angry. Oh, I'm not angry. You know? And I'm there, oh, okay. All right. So then I don't know, about a year later, I had this one fellow. It took him a whole year. And then he finally admitted that he was angry. And he wrote me a letter one time, and he said, I thank you so much for your counseling and so forth. It only took me a year to admit my anger, and if I'd admitted that when I came in, I probably would have been only there for a few weeks. But it took him about a year to admit that he was angry. And anger is something that, again, we don't like to admit because we see it as wrong. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, be angry. Now, what's an imperative?
Command.
Very, very good. Okay, it's a command. So, you kind of scratch your head and say, wait a minute. God, you're commanding us to be angry? Be angry. It's a command. He says, be angry. Wait a minute. Be angry, and yet in James, it says what? Be slow to anger, right? How is it that we look at anger as something that is always sinful? Because it's not. Even James says, be slow to anger. And then here Paul says, be angry. God commands us to be angry. And if we admit our anger, and I think maybe this is why God tells us to be angry, because when we allow ourselves to be angry, then we can begin to examine our hearts, see? And that's what God wants us to do constantly throughout Scripture. He wants us to examine our hearts, doesn't he? That's what Scripture is all about. Examining our hearts, applying the Scripture to our hearts. And God wants us to do this all the time. Right? And sinful anger comes from a distorted heart. Okay? And so we have to take a look at our hearts. And why did I read to you the scripture reading in Romans 8 today? Because Paul says there that the whole creation is groaning, and we ourselves inwardly are groaning, see, as in the pains of childbirth. You got a lot to look forward to, right? And if Emily was here, she'd say, yeah, right? But it gives way to joy, right, when the baby's born. But we're all groaning, right? And you know why? Because this world is not our home. This world is not our home. And we can't wait, right? And the older I get, I don't know about you, but the older I get, I'm there, you know what? I've had enough. Take me home, Lord. I'm ready. I just don't want to suffer. That's one of the things I throw in there. God, please don't let me suffer, but I want a heart attack, right? That's what I want, right? So, I have a heart attack, boom, it's done, it's over with, and Deb has to reap the consequences, I guess, of whatever. But anyway, we're all groaning because this world is not our home. And so when we're groaning, think about this. Why are we groaning? Because this world's not our home, and we're going to be angry because this world's not our home. We're just naturally going to be angry. And the very nature of our sin, we're angry. We're angry people, see? And so we have to pay attention to our hearts, And I got a little fancy. I like doing this sometimes, get fancy, right? But it all starts with our ego. Now, none of you have egos, right? All right. Ray, that was Kathy Parks that just moaned there. Okay. I'm teasing you. I said mid-anger, right? So you're. The ego. We have selfish, what? You probably can't read that from there. Sorry, I'll read it. We have selfish expectations, desires or demands, Now, none of us have those, right? Selfish expectations, desires, or demands, right? Nah, right? We all have those. And that's really where it begins. And what happens when things don't happen the way that we want them to or that we expect them to? What happens? Yeah, we react. Yeah, see? When we don't get what we want, we react, see? And whenever we react, guess what? We're not going to be listening well, and we're probably going to be grumbling and talking too much and all of that, right? And our anger starts to, God says, be angry, but, you know, don't sin. Well, see what happens. It starts with our ego, then we react, and then hurts. When we experience hurt, we can become vengeful, bitter, and resentful. Now, I'm sure none of us have ever been resentful, bitter, right? Or vengeful, right? Yeah. See, because that's pretty serious stuff. When we become bitter, when we become vengeful, we want revenge. And we begin to take things into our own hands. And that's why it's important to try to resolve conflict. And we can't resolve conflict until we first examine our own hearts. Right? We have to examine our own hearts. We can't solve conflict for somebody else. We have to look at our own hearts. It begins with us. See? And admitting that we're angry. Because unresolved conflict will lead to one of two things, either aggressive or passive-aggressive behavior. Now, what kind of aggression do you think I have? Passive-aggressive or aggressive-aggressive? I just looked out at, she's there like this, Ella, right? I love you, Ella, you know, she speaks the truth, right? So I really want you to tell me, go ahead.
Aggressive.
Oh, phew. Like you all didn't know that. You know that, right? And, you know, one of the silver linings to that, Ella, is that you all know that that's sinful, right? I mean, when, you know, if I'm aggressive, right, you say, look at him, right? Passive-aggressive, however, is not as obvious, see? Passive-aggressive is, well, I'm just not going to talk to you anymore. I'm going to take my marbles and I'm going to go home. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to... No, sorry. I didn't do that on purpose. That's it. See, I told you she was an honest person. See, she's passive. Can be. And we're going to react in one of those two ways. We're going to be aggressive-aggressive or passive-aggressive. And I won't pick on my wife. No, Al, don't do that. Okay. But, you know, passive-aggressive can be very, very, as harmful as aggressive-aggressive. Because the conflict never gets resolved. And I wanted a balloon this morning. I was looking over in the kids' department over there trying to find a balloon because, you know, passive-aggressive is a lot like blowing up a balloon, right? It's like, I'm not going to say anything. Right, and I'm disappointed, right? Or I'm frustrated, right? Well, not going to say anything, but this balloon, right, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And guess what happens when the balloon gets bigger and bigger and bigger? Right. Reminds me of a couple I was counseling way back when. And he came into my office, and he said, you'll never believe this. And I said, okay. And he said, my wife woke up this morning. He said, I've been married for 17 years. And he said, I thought I had the most wonderful marriage on the face of the earth. And I said, okay. And he said, she rolled over in bed this morning and said, I want a divorce. And he said, I had no clue, no idea. And I said, well, why not? Well, she never said anything. But what happened is, it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, boom, right? Devastating. And then what happens when there's unresolved conflict because of our ego and so forth? Many times, as Christians, we know we need to do what? Do we need to forgive? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all know that, right? We're Christians. We know that. We need to forgive. But you know what happens? Because of our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all else, the Bible says that even when we forgive, our forgiveness can be distorted because we're sinners. And that's why we have to examine our hearts, see? That we have pure hearts, because even our forgiveness, I will forgive you, or you'll forgive me, whatever the case might be, until you screw up again. And if you screw up again, well, guess what? I forgave you once. Now you screwed up again. And I call that probation. That we don't really forgive. We put people on probation. I will forgive you until you screw up again. You mess up again. And that's not the forgiveness that the Bible talks about. 70 times 7, right? Now, the subtleties of anger, disappointment, we can go a long way to identifying our anger if we admit to ourselves, to others, I'm really disappointed. Because when we talk about our anger in a constructive way, then our anger can be dealt with in a way that it doesn't blow up like the balloon, right? How many of you have ever been disappointed? Frustrated. These are nuances of anger, see? And then agitation, irritation, resentment. Well, we don't resent anybody, do we? Conflict, vengeance. These are all subtleties. Vengeance, maybe not so much, not so subtle. But all of these are nuances of anger. Now, God commands us to listen, back to listening. Why does God say that? So that we can understand, number one, what is really being said. See? Without judging. You hear? Without judging. Listen to what's being said without judging. Give the benefit of the doubt when we're disappointed, when we're frustrated. Eh? Let's. What is really being said? What's really going on? Right. So we can give attention to our feelings. How many of you know what you feel when you're angry? A lot of times we don't pay, especially those of us that are men. We're not really good with feelings. Now, that's not really true for me because I'm a feely kind of guy. But for most men, we're clueless when it comes to feelings. Okay? And we need to tune in to our feelings because anger is something that's more than just an emotion. Anger is something that will raise your blood pressure. Do you know that? Yeah. It'll raise your blood pressure. It will get you red in the face. Right? And if anger is left unchecked, it could lead to all kinds of health issues that are devastating. So God commands us to listen for a reason, to listen to our feelings, to listen to what's really being said without judgment. God commands us to listen so we can determine what to say and how to say it. See? And then because he knows, we all need to know that we groan inwardly. In other words, God says, I want you to listen because you all groan inwardly. So pay attention. Listen. God knows we are all angry because of our sinful nature, as I said. And that anger is not going to produce righteousness. And that the anger I'm talking about is the anger that comes from a distorted heart. That's why we need to constantly go before God every day, examine our hearts. Now, when I was a teenager, which is a few years ago, right, I didn't think anything about wearing underwear the second day. My wife didn't know that. Is that TMI? Is that too much information? Okay. The reason I say that is because, you know, the minute that I change my clothes at night, I put them down and they disappear. And where do they go? Deb has them and she's got them in a wash machine. You know, she washes clothes every single day, and I am so grateful that she does because I always have clean clothes. Wasn't always that way, see? But I love clean clothes, see? Do you all love clean clothes? Do you love clean underwear? Yeah? Okay. Well, what's that?
Our mother's always told us to wear clean underwear in case you get hit by a bus.
You know, you were raised the same way I was raised, you know? Yeah, my mother used to say the same thing, you know? Yeah, and I didn't listen because I wore them. Anyway, getting way off track here. But yeah, Ray can relate, I'm sure. Sorry, what's that, Joe?
You're just slow to hear.
Yeah, slow to hear, yeah. So why do I mention it? Because, you know, we need to wash our hearts every day. That's where I'm going with this, right? We need to wash our hearts every single day. And the only way we can do that is by saying, you know what? My heart, hey, here's a newsflash. Your heart gets dirty every day. Do you know that? See, here you thought you all had clean. Our hearts get, huh?
Really?
Really? Every day. Yeah. Okay. Ray, I won't tell you who that is. Okay. But our hearts get dirty every day in one way or another in how we speak to one another and omission sometimes of things that God wants us to pay attention to. Our hearts get dirty every day. Every day. How do I know this? Because the Bible says that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all else, and who can understand it? And then he goes on to say, and can a leopard change his spots? No. Our hearts are something that we need to clean every day, in one way or another, every day. And go before God and said, examine my heart, right? Because if we don't, anger will not produce righteousness, right? Therefore, know that we must constantly be cleansing. And the word in the original language there, it's a participle. And what a participle means, I call it an ing. And you know what an ing is? An ing means that it's continuing to happen over and over and over again. Right? That's what it is. And in the original languages, it says constantly be cleansing our hearts of all filthiness, clean, rampant wickedness, in order to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. In other words, being teachable. See? And we all need to be teachable. God, examine my heart. I want to be teachable. I want to be open to whatever it is that needs to change in me, no matter how old I am. Okay? And how do we do this? The Word of God must determine our actions, which determine our feelings. Now, I'm going to close with this, but I want you to understand something. That we do what we do because we feel something. We do what we do because we feel something. See? Now, that's a problem. Because feelings may or may not be reliable. See? But understand that we do what we do because we feel. That's why it's so important to tune in to our feelings. And feelings are not something. Some of you remember the Twilight Zone? It was a Rod Sterling. I'm surprised I remember that. But anyway, they had this music, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, right? See? It's the Twilight Zone, you know. Right? Feelings are not like Twilight Zone, that they're bouncing around somewhere out there, and it's like, oh, I'm going to attach myself to Linda. Right? Feelings aren't like that. Where do feelings come from? Where do they come from? The Twilight Zone? Jan's on it, right? They come from here. And actions. What's that? Yeah, actions speak louder than words. That's right. Yeah. And you want your feelings to change? Then you need to change what? Yeah, you need to change actions. You need to change your heart. See? If you're waiting for feelings to change, guess what? Never going to happen. Unless you change your behavior. Unless you change the action. Then your feelings are going to change. See? And that's why forgiveness is so important. You know, and we don't have to like somebody to forgive somebody. Right? I don't like you, but I'll forgive you anyways. Right? Change your actions. Because that's the only way you're going to change your feelings. See? And some of you are sitting here this morning, and you're ill. And you've got certain diagnoses that, you know, are very difficult. Right? And you could be very, what should I say? You could be ruled by your feelings of, you know what? Boy, this really sucks. Right? This is terrible. You know, or you can say, you know what? My actions is going to be, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to count joy, even in the midst of suffering. And guess what? Your feelings are going to be different. Right, Joe? And Joe, you're a good example of that. And Bonnie, you're a good example of that. And Carolyn, you're a good example of that. And Bill, you're a good example of that. And Shirley, you're a good example of that. See? Those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can plug in actions, righteous actions, actions that will take us to a place. Okay, God, I don't get it. I don't understand why. But you know what? My actions are going to be, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you to do whatever it takes. And Kathy, you too. Right, as Sandy comes up. Well, that's what I want us to think about. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for our time together. And I thank you for the patience of this congregation in listening this morning. And thank you for convicting me. Thank you for the reminder to cleanse my heart every day. And I pray that we would be clean people that would Cleanse our hearts each and every day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.